This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing things that matter most to you. Local experts answering your questions. Call 855-765-1045. That's 855-765-1045. Now, the Consumer Law Hour with Eddie and Chuck Farah.
Listening to the Consumer Law Hour on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's news and talk station. My name's Scott Young, your host here every week. With me in the studio today are sponsors Eddie Farah, Chuck Farah from the law firm of Farah & Farah, ready to take your calls at 855-765-1045. If you've got legal questions, we've got legal experts who can help you out with that. Chuck, Eddie, welcome back to the show. Happy New Year, guys.
Same to you, Scott. It's good to be back.
Hey, Scott.
Good to be back in the studio.
So
another big year of the Consumer Law Hour.
Absolutely. Ready to make 2020 a good year for helping out a lot of people.
Hopefully. I want to start talking about helping out people, kind of give everybody an update on our free Uber cab ride home New Year's Eve. I think this year, this is our fifth year doing it, and I think this year we did probably close to 2,500 free rides home.
Outstanding.
And, that's really huge. And I'll tell you.
Not going to lie, fellas, I tried to sign up for the Uber and they were out of them. So I got the taxi code instead.
Yeah, what happens is.
It works.
And the problem is Uber is, they're advanced and it's a huge company. They don't really have the technology there to handle programs like this, believe it or not.
Well,
they really are. We got to stay on the phone with them. We run out of vouchers, and you can't find somebody to get more vouchers. I mean, you would think this company that's kind of taken over the world would have a really tight system of allowing these kind of and Lyft. You can't even use Lyft.
Well,
I wanted to add Lyft to it, but Lyft will not allow you to get a free cab ride. A free ride. It'll give you a free ride from point A to point B. But you can't just get a voucher from Lyft and say, take me home to the South Side.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Well, I don't know how the systems are set up for that. I know Uber's structure is actually pretty simple, because the important thing to remember is Uber is not, and they'll be the first to tell you this, they're not a transportation company.
I know.
But they are a contract services company, and they connect individual vendors with individual clients, which makes the idea of negotiating a particular service package and pickup a whole lot easier. I don't know Lyft's particular deal because I never drove for them.
Yeah, you can't really. We tried that. We reached out to Lyft, but Lyft will not allow you to just give somebody a voucher and say, okay, this person's got a $50 voucher, take them where they want to go. Lyft will only give you a voucher from point A to point B. And how do we know where people are going?
Exactly.
Well, and the problem with Uber, it's gotten better this year. Last year we were shut down for several hours, is getting the vouchers uploaded. But we still had the cabs. Even if you missed Uber, we still had the cabs, and we even paid for a few people. Some people couldn't download the cab voucher.
We're
reimbursing them for that. But
here's the important thing. You guys are looking out for the community, and you made a resource available that got a lot of people home safe.
Yeah, we loved it. I mean, it was like 2,500 people. I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot of people driving around, not tipsy. So we loved it. We'll do it again. Every year we're perfecting it. We're finding our contacts with Uber and trying to find the people that can, make it work smoother. And every year we're getting better at it. So we're looking forward to 2020.
Well, on behalf of citizens in Jacksonville, people that were driving and people who were riding and otherwise, thanks a lot for that service. We appreciate it.
Anytime, Scott. We love doing it. So getting into 2020, a lot of times, I'm going to start talking about a personal injury matter, but we take all kind of phone calls here, and we want to hear what you've got to say and what legal issues you've got. And usually, if I don't have the answer, I'll call you back and get you an answer. And you can always avail yourself of something we've talked about every week almost, is that Jack's Bar Association. They've got a service whereby you can talk to an attorney who specializes in the area that you have an issue with. And for 30 minutes, you can talk to a lawyer for $50. The best deal going, these are lawyers that typically charge probably hundreds of dollars an hour. So you're going to get a lawyer for $50 for a half hour to talk to you.
And they're specialists in that field.
Yes, right. If you have a family law issue, they're not going to bring a criminal lawyer in there. They're going to find you a family lawyer to talk to you. And these lawyers donate their time to the Jacksonville Bar. It's the best thing going. So you should use it. And you can always call us, and maybe we can help you too. But these guys, they're gonna connect you with somebody who's really, who's really knows what they're doing in that area of law. But moving into something I kind of know a little bit about is the personal injury aspect of personal injury law. And there's a recent case that came out that I found interesting. And it was a person who was parked in a handicapped parking spot, and he fell. I mean, he parks his car and he leaves. I mean, there's nothing really wrong with the parking area. He parks in the handicapped spot and he tries to get to the sidewalk and he falls. Okay. You would look, okay. I mean, typically you would say, okay, well, what did he fall on? Was it his fault? I mean, why are you going to sue the landlord in this situation? But this case was interesting because there's a Florida statute, 553.503. It's called the Florida Accessibility Code. And it's part of the building, construction rules. And it deals with handicapped parking spaces. And this Florida statute says failure to provide a cut through in the curb between the sidewalk and the parking lot constitutes an impediment to access in violation of the Florida Accessibility Code for building construction. So this case, you know, you would think there was nothing to this case. This guy just fell. But because there was no cut through in the curb to the parking from the parking lot, this case was able to proceed, and it's probably ended up making a recovery. So the moral to that is you really want, anytime you're injured, a lot of times we see it all the time. People fall in stores. They're embarrassed. They don't, you know, why did I fall? I mean, you're not supposed to fall. And they're afraid to take action. But you really want to talk to an attorney, because here's a situation where a lot of people would just say, wow, you know, there's no cut through. I hit the, let's assume he fell on the, you know, hit the curb and fell over. You know, why didn't I see the curb? Well, the Florida building code requires a cut through from the curb. So luckily this person went to an attorney, got a consultation, and this attorney pursued a matter on their behalf. So it's always
worth it to explore the option on that. You may have some legal protection you didn't know about.
Exactly. And especially in the personal injury world where attorneys, you know, give free consultations. I mean, every personal injury attorney I know in Jacksonville, including us, gives free consultations, and they'll evaluate your case. Sometimes we take cases, and even though the client hasn't decided, you know, they want us to investigate it before they really hire us, we will take cases and we'll investigate it for a period of time and then come back to the client and say, hey, here's our investigation. We found out A, B, C, and D. Here's what I think you should or should not do. So, and most, you know, PI firms will do that. But again, avail yourself of the resources. I just thought that was an interesting case, because first looking at it, you would not think there was anything to it. But okay.
It also it suggests something to property owners about your responsibilities. Always make sure you're up to speed. Check in with your local enforcements for codes to make sure that your property is being maintained properly. That
or it's up to the building code. I know. Now that I see this, I mean, I can, you know, where there's a handicapped parking spot, from what I read of this, I mean, there should be a cut through. I don't know. I mean, most contractors are aware of that, and it's in the, I mean, it's in part of the permitting process. If you're building a strip center, I'm sure you probably have to, you'll have to comply with all that. But let's say you buy something that's not, that you, you know, an older center. I'm not aware of whether or not you got to bring it up to code. Whether it's grandfathered in. But moving on to something else. I don't know if we have a call right now. No. Okay. All right. I can keep moving on. Great. I want to talk about emotional support animals. We've talked about these before. You know, these are not service dogs. You know, service dogs, you can take them anywhere. You can take them in restaurants. You can put them on the plane. But this thing about emotional support animals was getting really out of hand, because
I recall a story about an emotional support peacock or something.
Yeah, peacock, and somebody brought a turtle. I'm trying to bring a turtle onto an airplane.
It's my emotional support Wolverine. You can't take it.
Yeah, and President Trump's former wife took some dog into a restaurant in New York, and they ran her out of there, and she said it was – and, you know, emotional support, they help people through tough times. People are going through emotional, tough situations, and they need these animals to get them through it, so – there's a peacock's deer. Some people have had squirrels, and, you know, I'll kind of bring a squirrel on an airplane. And I guess you could say a snake is an emotional support animal. You try to bring that on an airplane. But so anyway, let me tell you what the law is now. It used to be very simple to have your dog or your animal classified as an emotional support animal. You could really, and there was really a lot of abuse in the system, because all you had to do was go online, pay a fee, and get the certificate. All right? So you can go online, pay some money, and it wasn't a lot of money. Apparently, you'd fill out a questionnaire, and then you'd get your certificate for your emotional support animal. So now it's changed, okay? And by the way, emotional support animals, you're not allowed to bring them into restaurants, shopping malls, and so forth. Service dogs go anywhere.
That's right, not the same as an assistance animal. So, not the same qualifications.
Yeah. And these emotional support animals, unlike a service dog, they don't need any kind of special training to serve. You know, they don't have to. You can bring, you gotta train a turtle. But I mean,
as long as you can hug it,
Hey, Sparky.
Yeah. So there's no special training for the emotional. So anyway, what they've done, if you've got one, I'm going to tell you right now, first of all, you're not allowed to bring them on airplanes or take them into malls or anything. Now, the registration has gotten more stringent. The new regulations require that a therapist sign a letter declaring a need for the animal, which must be renewed annually, so you only get it for a year. The therapist conducts a thorough evaluation of the person who needs the emotional support animal. They also must assess the animal to confirm that it can perform a valuable function, that it's really helping you, And the therapist must also review the interaction between you and the emotional support animal to ensure that it's benefiting you. And once the therapist thoroughly investigates all that, they can give you the certificate to have it. So
basically it's a matter of like a qualification at this point. It needs to be documented. It needs to be renewed. It needs to be demonstrable.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not just going online and filling out a checklist and getting a certificate, paying $75. Now there's an actual therapist involved, which vets everything out and has got to sign off on it. Because there's liability there.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of liability of these emotional, and that's why they're not allowed. They can stop you from bringing them in to restaurants. Service dogs, they can't, but emotional, no restaurants, no airplanes, no malls, none of that stuff. But, where can you take them? If you can't take it into the airplane and you can't take it to a mall, you can't take it to a restaurant. Where are you going to take the emotional support animal?
Back home where it belongs.
Yeah, I know. That's right, Scott. Oh, man. Okay. Well, we're going to talk about camels for a minute. We're talking about animals right now. But
it's my emotional support camel.
No. This is a lady who fell off a camel, and we're going to talk about that. But
she was clearly not being emotionally supported.
No. Well, let me tell you, this is an interesting case because it has to do with TripAdvisor. These platforms on the internet, this lady sued TripAdvisor. She's in Morocco. And she's in Marrakesh in Morocco. She booked a tour through TripAdvisor. It was run by a third-party tour operator. TripAdvisor did not own the tour operator, the third party. They just advertised it, okay? This was a sunset camel tour in Marrakesh. What happened is during the caravan, the camel broke away from the caravan and, ran off and she fell. Come to find out, the camel was pregnant and was supposed to give birth in a month, and that's why when it was time for her to get on the camel wouldn't bend down, couldn't get down. And the tour operator started laughing. He said, listen, the camel's pregnant, can't bend over. But they got her on the camel. Camel runs off. She falls off the camel. So she tries to sue TripAdvisor. Because I book stuff through TripAdvisor. So her argument was to try to bring in TripAdvisor is that there was no safety briefing before the ride began. When she fell, there was nobody there to take her. There was no van to take her to get medical treatment, but there was no safety briefing before the caravan took off. And, they delayed calling the ambulance
Did TripAdvisor, were they on the hook for that?
No, that's still going on. That's why I'm trying to, but here's TripAdvisor's argument. See, TripAdvisor is like, their argument is like these other companies, like Amazon. We're just a platform.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're not in the business. I mean, Amazon.
An intermediary. They're a booking agent.
You're booking agent. I'm connecting you to this guy, okay?
Like a travel agent.
Yeah, there's a federal law the Federal Communications Decency Act, which kind of gives these online companies kind of immunity because they are just a platform, supposedly. Now, TripAdvisor has settled some cases. They've paid some money out. There was one case they paid out. There was an ATV tour in Mexico. And on their site, on TripAdvisor's site, they advertised that it was a small group of people who were going to ride the ATVs. There was personal instruction. There were really specialized guides for all this. But no, it was a large group of ATV riders. There was no personal instruction. And the guide sped off. They're going real fast, so they caused everybody to kind of follow them, and people get hurt. And so, TripAdvisor ended up settling that case. So, yeah. I don't know, if they had no immunity, why would they settle it? I think.
Well, you know, it's going to be interesting when discovery begins in that case to see if was TripAdvisor, were they, you know, sharing in the revenue of that trip, or did the camel company. You know, well, did they just hire TripAdvisor and paid them a set fee and use them as the broker, so to speak?
I don't think.
And in those types, you know, it all really depends on how the setup is, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. What's the relationship?
Yeah, what's the relationship? And that's going to come out in discovery.
Might they have been protected with some sort of a disclaimer or something?
Yeah, but that may be between the TripAdvisor and the third party. Oh, yeah, maybe they get you to sign something. Great. Like a
waiver or.
Yeah, maybe there's a waiver on the. Yeah.
Some incidents or the check mark thing when you're booking the service that says, you know, TripAdvisor is not responsible for.
Correct. But some of those waivers are not valid under law. It depends how they're worded and depends. It's not uncommon that we've done it many times where we've gotten around those waivers. Because the way they're worded are not specific enough. They're not compliant with the law. So people get around those waivers. We've done it many times.
Once again, talk to an attorney. You may be protected and not even know it.
All right. Well, we can get back on this camel thing.
We're going to take a quick break. Our lines are open. If you've got questions, give us a call at 855-765-1045. Again, lines are open at 855-765-1045. We'll be back for the second segment of the Consumer Law Hour on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. back for the second segment of the Consumer Law Hour. Coming up on the bottom of the hour, so we're going to be going to a break again real quick. But before we do, got time to take a quick phone call. We're going to start off with Joe in Jacksonville. Joe, you are on the Consumer Law Hour. How are you today?
Hey, Joe.
Oh, good. Good afternoon, gentlemen, and thank you for taking my call. The question I have relates to the underwriting changes that Tower Hill is implementing in 2020 for their property or to their insurance under the property policy. I received notification from Tower Hill that their underwriting requirements were changing such that they were going to now look at the financial records, the driving history, mm-hmm. and other, I'm not sure what you'd call it, other background information about their insured through a LexisNexis report.
Right. They look at credit history, credit reports.
Correct.
Yeah, I look at all that.
So, you know, my question is that fair and equitable for them to do? My credit history should have no bearing.
It does.
They can do it all the time.
All the car insurance companies do it. People think they look at the driving record and that's what determines your premium. They first look at the credit history before anything.
Yeah. Okay. And I fully agree that if I'm operating an automobile and I've got DUIs, I'm a high risk, never get a CDL. But what does my credit history have to do with?
Because they have data. They have data that backs up something.
Yeah.
Either that people with a bad credit history don't pay their bills or may are less responsible. They got data. I mean, and it's not just credit history. It's all kind of factors. If you go online, you can see it. I mean, these companies are using everything they can to determine what you're going to be paying for insurance.
I just got dropped
because I'm an attorney. The insurance company I had on an umbrella dropped me because they didn't want to insure lawyers anymore.
And with all due respect, I mean, that is discrimination in my mind.
But it's not a protected class.
Discrimination. Joe, can you hold on with us through the break, and we'll come back to you in just a minute?
Yes, sir.
All right, stay on the line for us, Joe. We'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to the Consumer Law Hour on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk.
are listening to the Consumer Law Hour on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Heading over to Glen St. Mary, we got a caller on the line, Shelly. Ready to take a question regarding a slip and fall, Shelly?
Hey, Shelly, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing just fine, thank you. Turn your radio down for me, if you would, Shelly.
Okay, it's down.
All right. Tell me what happened.
Okay, my kids and I went to an establishment last night, and while we were eating in the lobby, we were the only customers there, and one of the employees came out and asked if it would be okay if she started mopping. And we told her yes and didn't think anything about it, and we just finished up everything. And when we got up to leave, my daughter slipped and did a split and had to sit there for a little bit and collect herself. And she insisted she was fine. You know, I asked her multiple times how she was, and she said she was fine. We left, and her knee was hurting, and they did have a sign up saying wet floor, but it was about 6 or 8 feet away behind us.
I mean, could you see it?
Go ahead.
I mean, could you see the wet floor sign from where you were sitting?
I could not because my back was to it. Mm-hmm. My daughter was facing that direction, but we really weren't looking because we were playing a game on our phones.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
How old is your daughter?
She's 16.
Yeah.
And we're taking her to the doctor right now because she woke up and she can't move her knee. I went by the establishment and asked to speak with a manager, and the manager kind of had an attitude with me.
All right. You should ask them about their insurance company. I'm getting a lot of reef. It's hard for me to talk. Shelly, why don't you leave your phone number with the producer, and I'll call you back on it. And I'll give you some advice on it. But there's a way to get the medical bills paid. So,
okay.
I'm just getting a lot of feedback from the...
Yeah, we're in a bad section.
No problem.
On the internet.
But just leave your number with the producer, and I'll be in phone contact next week.
Okay.
Thanks. All right. Thanks for your call, Shelly. We're going to step over to Russell in Avondale. He's got a question about airline services and also about a personal entry topic you read about. Russell, you're on the Consumer Law Hour.
Hey, Russell.
Hey, I'm leaving my psychiatrist office after that whatever was happening with the noise there.
Yeah, I know.
Holy moly.
That was emotional support static.
That was emotional.
Well, I have my emotional support butterfly.
Yeah.
So, it won't quit crapping, and I can't change the diaper without squeezing its stomach. But anyway, I had those 2 points, but I had another one, but I'll get to these two first. The Campbell thing you were talking about at all is kind of like you go to a baseball game, and on the back of the ticket it says, hey, you get hit in the back of the head, slip on popcorn, it's too late. You know, I think that's kind of what you were pointing out.
No, not necessarily. That's different. No. Totally different.
Yeah. What is it called when you can't sue someone for very much, like Shands or the city or whatever? What is that called?
They have sovereign immunity.
Sovereign immunity.
So by the government, you're limited to $200,000. God forbid.
Yeah. Well, what does a personal injury lawyer hate more, sovereign immunity or small print in a contract, like on the back of losing your luggage or they only pay you $300?
Yeah, I mean, those are typically, I've seen those being enforceable, but you know, these waivers, if they're not worded properly, they're going to be thrown out. I mean, we see them all the time. We've done that many times.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry, sir.
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, I know you have to look at each waiver on its own.
This is a great wording thing that actually made it to the Supreme Court in Quebec. Woman's riding an escalator at a mall. When she gets to the top or bottom, it doesn't say. Policeman says, you know, you need to put your hand on the rail or whatever when you're going down. And she says, you know, I can go through my purse or do what I want to do. So he said, well, give me your license or whatever. And she didn't. So we gave her 2 tickets for obstruction and disobeying an order. And she sued. It took 7 years and got $20,000. I don't know how the Canadian dollar is or whatever, but I just thought that was pretty interesting. That because the judges ruled that it recommends you hold on. It doesn't tell you have to.
I I know that, but I don't know. I mean, they have a different civil justice system than what we have here. I mean, they do have a tort system, but I don't know.
I don't know more interesting than anything.
I mean, maybe he assaulted her in some way. I mean, maybe. I don't know all the facts.
I don't know. I think she might have just been suing for harassment or something.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he gave her a hard time or he exceeded his authority. That's probably what happened. I mean, people can sue over anything. You know, I mean, sometimes.
Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Okay. I have a very strange, well, I don't think it's a strange question. I think this is a matter of an opinion or I guess, but I think it's a very strange precedent to begin. You know, we've had these missing children here lately, and thank God we found the two over here off Beaver Street the other day, you know, raining cold and all. But before that, we had the Navy mother whose child was found dead over in Alabama. And, you know, I understand people wanting to help. People went out in their own money, their own boats, and the government even did it on their dime to look for those firemen out in the ocean. But the Jacksonville Fire and Police Department sent police and firemen getting paid overtime to go to Alabama to search for that girl. And that just seems like a very bad precedent to set, because what if you're on vacation in the Grand Canyon? Should Jacksonville, and you're from Jacksonville, should they send people to the Grand Canyon to help look for you or your child and take them?
Did they do that?
Jacksonville sent over 100 combined between police and firemen to Alabama when the Navy mothers from NAS here on Roosevelt to look for her, yes.
I thought the local police there were looking for him.
Well, they were, but, you know, it's a small county or whatever, I guess. But,
they didn't have the resources to do it, so they had to.
Well, the FBI was there because it's a state line crossing.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to put you in a corner with this.
No, I don't know. I just thought, I don't know. I mean, is that a police? That's a police procedure issue. I don't know. Who makes the decision as to...
Well, then the firemen, too. You know, you're talking, there's got to be an average of 50 to 80, 90 bucks an hour, depending on rank, and then you've got...
But they're getting paid anyway. They're on salary. I mean, where they're sitting...
No. When you're a fireman, you're not on salary. You work 10 days a month unless you're right. a 40-hour week person. So you get paid for your days. You go out of town or you work another shift.
You
get paid overtime.
I know, but if they're sitting around, I mean, they could be sitting around doing nothing getting paid.
They could be waiting. They're in standby mode.
Yeah, they're in standby mode. I mean, they're still getting paid. I mean, they're at the station waiting for something to happen.
Yeah.
But
when you're in Alabama, do you know what else that means, Ed?
Yeah.
That means you're not going to be at your station in Jacksonville, Florida.
I don't know. I mean, that's a question you need to take up with the city. I've never heard anybody bring that up before.
Yeah, I'm not trying to say.
You're right. I mean, who makes the decision? What if my kid is missing?
Does he get the same treatment?
I'd want people to come get me for sure.
Of course.
I know. But not everybody, you're saying not everybody gets the same treatment. So.
Well, I just thought that was one heck of a precedent to set there, you know, because I actually called the union and I said, are they paying those guys? And he said, would you go out there and not get paid?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure they're getting paid.
13 hours one way just to go look in the woods for a child that the mother's not even cooperating where she is. So you have no idea. But luckily they did find her, but the conditions were terrible.
Right.
In 5 hours.
Yeah. Well,
okay. Ed, great show. Producers, everybody.
Thanks,
I appreciate
Russ.
You taking my call.
That's a good question.
Thanks.
That's a good point. I mean,
appreciate
you know what? Scotty brings up something. Who makes a decision as to how much attention you get?
Well, at some point, I guess, you know, if there's children involved, don't you want to do everything that's within your resources to do? It seems like the right thing to do, but at some point also you got to look at cost management, like you said, responsibilities that are entitled in the job. If you got obligations to serve and protect locally, then, you know, God bless the kid, but...
I mean, if you already got the FBI involved in Alabama and they're doing their investigation, what's the advantage of sending, I don't know, maybe they need to cover more area and the county couldn't handle it. Maybe they got a call from the county where they thought the kid was, and the county said, we don't have the resources. to do what it needs to be done. I don't know. That's an interesting question.
And then again,
never really thought of it from that perspective.
Like you said, would you go out there off pay? Some people would.
Yeah, most people are not going to do that.
Yeah. I don't know.
You think so? I don't
Depends on the situation, the attachment, the investment. Yeah.
You heard what the union told him. All right, well.
That's an interesting situation. It's an interesting afternoon, and we've got some lines open for you, 855-765-1045. Tom and Ron, I see you guys on the queue.
Yeah, Tom's got a good question.
We're going to come back to you in just a few moments for our final segment of the Consumer Law Hour on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk.
back for the final segment of the Consumer Law Hour on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Going to start off with Tom over in Palm Coast. Tom, appreciate you waiting. You're on the Consumer Law Hour.
Hey, Tom.
Afternoon.
You got a question about an out-of-state will. What's going on?
Yeah, I moved down here from Rhode Island last year, and I had a very reputable law firm up there do the wills and the proxies and the powers of attorney.
Right.
And now I'm down in Florida. That will going to be illegal down here?
As long as it complies with Florida law, then it's legal. For instance, Florida law, as long as it's signed by you and there are two witnesses, basically that's what a will's what's required in Florida.
Okay.
So what you could do is take all your documents if you felt like you wanted to get it. Just talk to a lawyer and look it over. But I think as long as it complies with Florida law, you're okay.
Yeah, it should be. The drafts, the originals are up still in Rhode Island. We have the drafts here. So I guess if something happened, they'd have to get a hold of him up there in Rhode Island to get the originals, I would imagine.
Yeah, but there are even procedures in Florida law where if they don't have the original, a copy can be admitted into probate. But it's better to have the original.
Okay, that's good. I don't have to spend another $1,200.
Right. As long as it complies with Florida law, you're okay. It should be
okay,
all right.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks.
Appreciate the call, Tom. Have a great afternoon.
Yeah, man.
Kathy in Jacksonville's on the line. She's got a topic with some chemical burns. Kathy, you're on the Consumer Law Hour.
Hey, Kathy.
Can you hear me?
Gotcha.
Okay, good. So I was on vacation in July this past summer. We were doing a lot of sports activities. And in the evenings, we'd go get in the hot tub. Well, I sat in front of the same jet each night. And there were several other people in the tub with us. And I was the only one that received these chemical burns. So I'm assuming that jet that I was sitting in front of had a concentration of chemicals coming out of it. It wasn't dispersed evenly.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, it's been a while, and I still have scars on my back from it. I ended up with about probably 7 to 11 spots, and they became infected. I had to go to the doctor on them. Should I have sought legal counsel for that?
How long's it been?
July.
And it happened where? What? In Florida?
It was in Florida. Okay. It was down in Winston.
It's a 4-year statute of limitations, so you have it. I mean, you still have time, but did you report it at the time it happened?
I reported it to the hotel, the resort we were staying at.
Right.
I reported it to them. They referred me to their insurance company. The insurance company wanted to pay me $25 for the copay for one visit. I went 3 times. I had to have medication, which was antibiotics, mm-hmm. along with an ointment to put on it. And they did not want to pay for the other 2 visits or the medication.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to probably have to, you're going to probably have to get a lawyer. If you want to pursue it, you have to get a lawyer. But the value of the claim is all based on the severity of the injury and how permanent it is. I mean, and where the scars are located and all that.
The scars are located at the base, bottom of my back.
So here's what you're going to find out. Once you get a lawyer and you have to file a lawsuit, they're going to say, it's not our problem. I mean, the lawyer's going to take the position that there's no chemical. We never had anybody else complain. Other people were in that hot tub. Other people were in that area you were. Unless you have other people getting burned, then it's going to be a tough, it could be a tough situation.
Okay.
I'm just saying that's if I'm playing the devil's advocate with you. If I were defending that case, that's what I would argue.
And it would be an expensive argument.
Yeah, I mean, you may find a lawyer down there to handle it.
Okay, and there could have been other people other than the ones in our group.
Yeah,
that were burned.
But your lawyer can find that out. He will be able to subpoena any other person that alleged a chemical burn in the hot tub, and they would have to turn that over to him.
Okay.
But
I would need to seek an attorney down in Weston.
In Destin it was?
It's Weston. It's down near Fort Lauderdale.
Okay, yeah. The Weston Hotel. I know where that is, down in Fort Lauderdale. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, yes. You would have to get a lawyer in Fort Lauderdale to handle that.
Okay.
Sure.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you.
But they can get the information. They can subpoena all that information. And if other people were getting hurt, that's going to help your case a lot because they were on notice about it. All right. Okay. Good luck. Thanks.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, Kathy, we appreciate your call. Guys, we appreciate everybody taking the time to participate in today's session of the Consumer Law Hour. The hour has flown by.
Oh, Fred. Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to take any more calls up against a hard clock.
He's talking about the overtime. Maybe I can call him up and I can report back next week. Fred, stay on the line. We'll get your phone number. I want to find out about this firing cop overtime thing.
And Ron, I see you're still on the line also. Please stay on the line. We'll get your information to follow up. You've been listening to the Consumer Law Hour on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk.